अयम् प्रपञ्चो मिथ्यैव अयम् प्रपञ्चो मिथ्यैव सत्यम् ब्रह्माहमव्ययम् सत्यम् ब्रह्माहमव्ययम् अत्र प्रमाणम् वेदान्ताः अत्र प्रमाणम् वेदान्ताः गुरवोऽनुभवस्तथा अयम् प्रपञ्चो मिथ्यैव सत्यम् ब्रह्माहमद्वय अव्ययम् अत्र प्रमाणम् वेदान्ताः गुरवोऽनुभवस्तथा सो अयम् प्रपञ्चो टेक् इट् इन् ब्रेक् द सन्धि अयम् प्रपञ्चः अयम् प्रपञ्चः अयम् मीन्स् वाट् थर्ड् पर्सन् सिङ्ग्युलर् प्रोनौन् दिस् मकारान्तः पुल्लिङ्गः इदम् शब्दः प्रथमाविभक्तौ एकवचने अयम् इति रूपम् ओके अयम् मीन्स् दिस् अयम् इस् दिस् इयम् आल्सो मीन्स् दिस् इदम् आल्सो मीन्स् दिस् इदम् जगत् एतत् आल्सो मीन्स् दिस् सी सो मेनि प्रोनौन्स् टु से जस्ट् दिस् अयम् इयम् इदम् एतद् असो but when do you use idam when do you use etad when do you use I am all the three means this I am etad iam all the words mean this only but I am when you say I am lokah but idam jagat etat jagat no why jagat is a new to gender word even the pronoun also must be new to gender word एतत् जगत् इदम् जगत् दिस् यूनिवर्स् बट् प्रपञ्चः लोकः आर् मास्ट् एण्ड् जेण्डर् वर्ड्स् देफोर् वाट् यु से अयम् लोकः अयम् लोकः अयम् प्रपञ्चः इस् ईक्वल् टु इदम् जगत् एतत् जगत् इस् इट् क्लियर् वै प्रपञ्चः इस् द मास्ट् एण्ड् जेण्डर् वर्ड् No, I am prapancha means not English I am, okay? I am, all you can, this is I am here word, no, I am is some Tamil Sanskrit word, I am means this third person singular pronoun. I am prapancha means idam jagat mithya eva. Okay, mithya eva means what now? Idam jagat mithya is okay enough. Why do you say idam jagat mithya eva? This universe is definitely non-substantial form indicated by the word universe. This the whole universe is entire objective universe, the objective cosmos inclusive of my body, mind and complex is mithya eva means it is non-substantial form. Non-substantial form means this form has no independent existence of its own. The form, non-substantial form, is dependent on the substance for its existence. There's no Okay, substance has independent, substance is independent of the non-substantial form, but this non-substantial form is dependent on the substance for its existence. With reference to ocean, the substance is water. The wave or ocean is non-substantial form and name. Similarly, the whole universe can be reduced to what? Non-substantial form and name, for which the substance is abstract, formless reality consciousness. Therefore, the whole objective universe can be looked upon what is a non-substantial form of the only substance of consciousness, the substance. Implied with the term Brahma, the whole universe is the form of Brahma. And look at, therefore, that's why the name of the Lord is what? Vishwarupaha. Vishwarupaha means one who is in the form of the universe. The one whose form is the universe is called Vishwarupaha. Is it clear now? Vishwarupaha. For this entire universe is non-substantial form of the substance, abstract substance, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, non-substantial form means doesn't have independent existence of its own. It is dependent, this form is dependent on the substance for its existence. The non-substantial form and name ocean, which does not have independent of existence of its own, is dependent on the substance called water for its existence. In the same way, the non-substantial form and name ocean is dependent on the substance called consciousness for its existence. Therefore, it doesn't have independent existence of its own, therefore it is not countable. It doesn't have countability of its own, therefore it is mithya. Now, countable, not countable, but it is not non-existent. The non-substantial form is not absolutely non-existent. Why is it not non-existent? It is not unreal. It is not unreal. It is not non-existent. At the same time, it cannot be said to be real, counted as real also. Why cannot it be said to be non-existent, unreal? Because it enjoys existence. How does it enjoy existence? How do you say? Because available for experience, available for perception, available for enjoyment. Therefore what? Therefore it is not absolutely non-existent. Therefore it is not unreal. If it is not unreal, can we say it is real then? It is not absolutely real also. Why is it not absolutely real? Because it doesn't have independent existence of its own. Why? Because it is a non-substantial form and name which is dependent on substance obtaining the form of knowledge for its existence. Therefore, what can be said, how it can be expressed then? It indicated, denoted then. You say, this universe is a non-substantial form and name dependent on the substance obtaining in the form of consciousness for its existence. It is neither real nor unreal. So that which cannot be negated as unreal, that which cannot be accepted as real also, has to be given a different technical name, term, or no, mithya. So mithya is not non-existent, mithya is not absolutely existent also, mithya is as though real, mithya is as good as non-existent. as good as non-existent. It is, is it clear now? The whole cosmos is mithya. Mithya means a non-substantial form and name which is dependent on the existence, the substance for its existence, therefore which can be looked upon as the only, the form of the only substance obtaining in the form of consciousness implied by the term Brahma. The whole universe is the form of the reality which is of the nature of formlessness. Formless reality, consciousness, existence alone is in the form of everything, is in the form of the entire universe. So consciousness is not any form, but every form is manifestation of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge. When you look at every form means object obtaining in any form, sound form, form, taste form, smell form, object obtaining any form is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, it can be looked upon as, it can be said to be what, manifestation of knowledge means illumination of consciousness. Therefore, it can be looked upon as a devata, a deity. Understand? Anything which can stand for the reality is called a devata. Every wave stands for what? Water. Isn't it? For any wave which is capable of, which is eligible to represent, stand for water, is what? Can be given a title. Similarly here, every object, any object which is manifestation of knowledge, represent, can stand for what? Can symbolize the reality. Therefore, then it is called, looked upon as devata, a deity. You get the point now? That is why we can relate to any object. And we specially make some forms and we make them stand, we invoke the Lord there, we do archana there, we do offerings there, we do offer salutations to the deity, then we call those murtis devatas, Bhagavan also. Is it clear? It means there's a vision behind what we are doing here. It is not mechanically, meaninglessly done here. Is it clear now? Therefore, what I'm saying here, the whole jagat is mithya. Mithya means what? It is neither, it's not absolutely real, it is not absolutely unreal, it is therefore that which is as though real. As though real means it is, doesn't have independent existence of its own. Therefore, it is not countable as something which enjoys existence of its own. It is mithya. The whole jagat is mithya. But what is the problem? So what? Jagat is mithya, so what? The problem is, we mistake this mithya jagat for satyam. We mistake empirically real, relatively real, objectively real, as though real. Mithya universe is mistaken to be absolutely real universe. There's error in our perception of the world. Why should we break our head to know whether the universe is real or unreal or mithya? So what? Universe is real, mithya, who cares? I just want to enjoy the world. I want to be in the world. I want to enjoy the world. That's all. I'm not bothered. I never don't want to break my head and know what the world is, how real the world is. Who cares how real the world is? No. There is, you have to care. You need to know how real the world is. For you to know how real the world is, and you need to know what actually reality is. But only when you understand what absolutely real, from the standpoint of what is absolutely real, you can understand, okay, what universe, what the world is. The world being as though real, world being non-substantial form. The world being as though real, the world is objectively real, world is empirically real, world is relatively real. We don't say unreal at all. The world is not unreal. The world is not absolutely non-existent. Then what is the world then? How much importance should I give this, to this world? The world is objectively real. I'm objectifying it. Perceptually real, I'm perceiving it. Experientially real, I'm experiencing it. Okay, I'm enjoying it. Relatively real, because it is here now. Relatively real. Empirically real, but it is as though real. It is as though real means what? It is not absolutely real. As though real means does not meet unreal. It is as good as unreal, as good as non-existent. It is not absolutely real. How can you say that? Only we understand what is absolutely real, the standpoint of what is absolutely real, we can understand the world being empirically, relatively, as though real. Understand the world being as though real, then what? Your perception of the world changes. Until and unless I arrive at what is absolutely real, unfortunately, helplessly, choicelessly, I mistake the world to be absolutely real. When I mistake the world absolutely real, I'm overvaluing. Okay, I give more value to the universe than what it deserves, what it is. Giving more value to the real world means what? In my perception, based on my perception, experience, enjoyment, when I'm ignorant of what is absolutely real, helplessly I mistake the world for absolutely real one. The world, the world is real. When I say, why is this real? Because I'm experiencing it. I'm enjoying it. I'm living in this world. How can you say the world is unreal? I mistake the world to be as though real world, to be absolutely real world. Exactly like a child who sees standing on the seashore, she experiences the sea, highly excited about the huge form of the ocean, and excited about the plurality of the waves, excited about everything is exciting for the child. For a child, the number of the waves is exciting, causes excitement. The type of waves is exciting. Noisy wave, roaring wave, quiet wave, small wave, big wave, plurality, the differences amongst the wave also is exciting. And all the waves, countlessness is exciting. Huge form ocean is exciting. Exciting for a child. Everything is exciting. And therefore what? Whole world is, the whole ocean is real. Experiencing it, enjoying it. And you are a Mahatma, water jnani. Come, we'll go home. The child doesn't want to come. Excited. Doesn't want to come. And you have to give and have to dag. But you say, you know why? Not exciting for you. Okay, you also see sometime for some time. Your object, you are neutral. You just without any reaction, any action, no, without any excitement, you appreciate the fact of the waves being there, or the fact of the ocean being there, or the water being there, and you have the knowledge. You have the vision of the one secondless, non-dual reality being the water with reference to ocean. Is it what? What is only water. What a form! The form ocean, forms waves, all non-substantial forms and names. And the substance of which is the water, only truth. And because water is not dependent on the form for its existence, all the forms are dependent on the water for its existence. Therefore, wave form is dependent. The dependent is called mithya, independent is satyam. Satyam is absolutely real, okay? With reference to ocean, any example, don't take it. You can't use the word advaitam with any example, I'm just telling you. And you know, in your understanding, you have the vision of the fact, the whole ocean full of waves is only form of one water. Even the water is distinct. Is it clear? Similarly here, but when we are ignorant of what is absolutely real, this abstract reality is truth. Substance, very ignorant of it is what I am, you do not know what, therefore you do not know what this world is also. You can never know what this world is essentially without knowing what I am essentially. For you to know, to appreciate the subtlest abstract fact of what this world is, the world is Brahma. For you should know definitely what I am essentially. Okay, what I am essentially must be very clear. Then what this universe is essentially will be very clear. Essentially, I am and the world is what? The same, one and the same truth. Is it clear? Therefore, we say the whole is what now? The whole universe is mithya. Mithya means you don't need to run away from the world. Don't need to deprive yourself of the enjoyment of the world. We don't need to deprive yourself of the experience of the world. We don't need to deprive yourself of enjoyment of anything in the world. It only appreciation of the fact, understanding of the fact, and accepting the fact. The world is mithya means is as though real means. Then you will not give over, you know, overvalue the world. The problem is, we do not know what I am essentially, if I do not know what the world is essentially, and that we do not, from this, then you see only the world, and from the stand, what, based on experience and enjoyment, and you mistake the world to be absolutely real. This error in the perception of the world is also what now contributes abundantly for your sorrowful life. Okay? Why should we know what this world is essentially? To know the world is not as real as I think. Finished. If I understand that world is not satyam, the world is not absolutely the world. When you say the world is not absolutely real, the world is empirically real. The empirically as though real world is essentially absolute reality. The form, the world I'm experiencing is what? As though real. When you understand, I have the right perception of the world. The right perception of the world, why should I have the right perception of the world? The error in the perception of the world should be corrected. If I know it is not absolutely real, it is only empirically real, then I will not be dependent on the empirically, relatively, objectively, as though real world for my happiness and security. When the standpoint of the absolute reality, when you understand the world being empirically real, already you would have shifted your dependence from the world to the self. Okay? So when shifting the dependence from the world to self for happiness and security is called what? Independence. Independence is freedom. Dependence is bondage. Do you understand what I'm saying? When do we shift your dependence? The shifting the dependence means dependence for what? For security and happiness. Being dependent on the world for one's happiness and security is called emotional dependence. Being dependent on the world for companionship, you know, for security and happiness is called emotional dependence. The misplaced trust. You know why? The world is not a source of happiness. The world is not at all a source of security. How can mithya world, which is dependent on satyam for its existence, be a source of happiness and security? Is it clear now? In the wake of the knowledge, you understand the fact that in the wake of knowledge of what is absolutely real, obtaining as one's own self, you can see one's own real nature. One's own self is the only source of happiness and security. What is absolutely real is the only source of security and happiness. The world is what? Okay, it's called you. The world is you are. The world doesn't change, you don't change. What changes? Your perspective of the world changes. Okay, in the wake of knowledge of what is absolutely real, the world continues to be the same world. The experience will be the same. The perspective alone changes. The world is not real means you understand another fact: the world is not a source of happiness and security. In the wake of the knowledge of the world, understanding of the fact that world, the mithya as though real world, cannot be, is not the source of security and happiness, you naturally, without being told, without being instructed, cognitively, you shift your dependence from the world for happiness and security to the reality. Reality means your own self, because you are reality. Shifting one's dependence for happiness and security from the world to one's own self is called what? Independence. Freedom. And not only that, being dependent is otherwise called attachment. Beautifully defined. What is attachment? Nothing is sticking here, okay? Everything is separately, only we have no space between everything. Attachment is not physical at all. Please understand. Attachment means emotional dependence is attachment. Okay? Emotional dependence is attachment. You are dependent on anything for happiness and security, then you are emotionally needy. So nothing wrong in being needy emotionally, but a choice, helplessly we are needy. The whole study is for us to become emotionally independent. Okay? This freedom from emotional dependence is called freedom, independence. So dependence is attachment. Dependence for what? So physical dependence is in the world, physical dependence is life itself is interdependence. Physical dependence is inevitable. Physically, to live in the world, physically we are dependent. Everything contributes for the well-being of everything else. Is it clear? But emotional dependence is the problem. What is being dependent on the world for one's happiness and security is emotional dependence. And this is called attachment. And not only for happiness and security, and even seeing the world as something responsible for one's unhappiness and sorrow is also what? Attachment only. Even if I think the world is responsible for my unhappiness, the world is responsible for the pain I'm going through in life. The world is, if you look at the world as something, world means the world, the people, situations as responsible for unhappiness, then also you are attached to the world. Also you are dependent on the world. Not only for happiness and security, if you look at the world as responsible for unhappiness and security also, there's error in the perception of the world. Then also you are dependent on the world. What? How? You expect the world to change, poor world, which cannot change. When you think the world is responsible for your unhappiness and unhappiness, then you want that world to be, you want to change the world. You want to change the world, or you want that world to change. And you will be disappointed. And again pain. Okay? And the poor world can never change. Swamiji told, I tried to change people. Finally I ended up changing. I changed myself. What is it? I discovered the fact that I cannot change the world. In fact, we need not change the world at all. When will you give up the effort? Vain effort of trying to change the world. When you understand the fact that the world is not responsible for my unhappiness or sorrow. Whatever pain, suffering, sorrow, what hurt or whatever I'm going through, definitely the fact is the world means objective universe. Universe, they say, it includes what? Everything. Nothing in the world is responsible for what I am going through in my life. This is a fact. When you appreciate this fact, then you will not find fault with the world. You will give up your vain effort of wanting to change the world, or you give up your want that the world should change. So world is neither a source of happiness nor is it responsible for my unhappiness. Then when you are free from in wrong perception of the world, there is passion and aversion possible. This emotion obtaining in the form of thought in terms of passion or aversion, raga or dvesha, are possible only in wrong perspective of the world. When you think the world is source of happiness and security, you are dependent on the world for happiness and security, then you have liking for objects in the world, you have passion for objects in the world, that okay, the passion itself is an expression of your dependence. Similarly, when you think the world is responsible for my unhappiness, then also something called aversion is possible. Aversion towards anything, the subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of thought, state of mind called aversion. Itself is possible only if there's erroneous perception of something in the world being the source of unhappiness, a response of unhappiness. Is it clear? So passion and aversion are expressions of what? Your dependence upon the world. being dependent upon the world means seeing the world as responsible for your unhappiness, or seeing the world as source of happiness or security is attachment. Is it clear now? Therefore, that is when there is, in, if you are dependent on the world for happiness and security, you will be disappointed. And if you see the world as a world as responsible for unhappiness and pain, then you have aversion towards the world, hatred towards the world, and where there is hatred also, there cannot be peace, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, what? There cannot be happiness at all. That is why it's a problem. Error in the perception of the world is the sole cause of all the problems. World is not the problem at all. World is so beautiful and enjoyable. As long as prarabdha is there, once you are born, until the body falls apart, you have an abode of enjoyment, instruments of actions. See the, what is available, ordained for you to enjoy in the world. Whatever you enjoy in the world, you want to come to India to be here to see these things and all. Somewhere, some part of the whatever you are destined to enjoy and appreciate in the world, that you ordained by prarabdha, the karma phalam, you're enjoying it. So whatever prarabdha ordains for you, I'm not able to go to Japan or somewhere else. So whatever is ordained for me to enjoy in the world, I'm enjoying. Enjoy it, okay? And you can still happily can be there. In the right perspective, you are free. Really speaking, nobody can prevent you from enjoying what you are ordained to enjoy. Nobody can prevent you from enjoying what you are ordained to enjoy. Experience. Otherwise, the world is just the world, beautiful. Being neutral. The world is neither a source of happiness and security, nor is it responsible for any pain, suffering I'm going through in the world. Whether you like it or not, this is the fact about the world. And this is the right perspective of the world. You understand this fact about the world, and this world itself is what? Mithya. It has no independent existence of its own. It doesn't exist outside of my real nature, the consciousness, what I am. I am the whole world, in fact. And for you to have this perspective of the world, to see the world differently, seeing the world as just the world, without adding any of your values, without adding any value to anything more than what it is, what it deserves. So having the right perspective of the world is neither the source of happiness nor is a response for my unhappiness is what? Right perception of the world. In right perception of the world, you are not dependent. You are not attached to the world. Okay? Then there's detachment. There is independence. For you to see this world, to have right perception of the world, you must first of all, you must have what? Right perception of your own self. I mean, you should know what you are essentially. In seeing what you are essentially, and you see, you discover yourself being the only source of existence, only source of happiness. But happiness is not a state of mind, it is just the vision, it is the expression of the vision of the fact. Therefore, all that is, there is only Brahma. Naham Brahma Asmi. So without having the right perspective of the self, without correcting the error in the perception of the self, without knowing what I am essentially, there is no way of having the right perspective of the self. And without having the right perspective of the self, there is no way of having the right perspective of the world also. So right perspective of one's own self presupposes the right knowledge of what one's own self is. thereby one can have that perspective of the world also, in which all the, isn't it, in the correcting the error in the perception of the world and the self, you are absolutely independent. And this, understand, independent means what? You don't attain independence, you take ownership of the happiness, fullness, independence, freedom, which is already there as your own real nature. Is what is called Jeevan Muktihi. Okay? Freedom, being free while living. It is purely cognitive. That is why it is very important for us to understand this, because very difficult, because all the time we are perceiving, experiencing, enjoying this world. Once you wake up from sleep, there is the manifestation of knowledge, I am, the world is. Enjoying, experiencing, but what happens in indulgence or sometimes makes us forget. We don't even know, first of all. And the world is so real for us. Can you believe all the relationships are mithya? That does not mean you should not have a relationship at all. To live in the world, you should have a relationship. Okay? But be aware of the fact. Everything is mithya. Mithya means don't overvalue. Understanding everything be mithya is not for running away from the world, but not to overvalue anything. Understand? It's a fact. That's why it's a, for you to understand the world is mithya, you should know what is satyam. And what is satyam? That without which the world cannot enjoy existence at all. The world cannot exist at all. That is satyam. And that satyam, the substance of the substantive universe, is the abstract, formless, all-pervasive, timeless, eternal, beginningless, endless, changeless, independent reality, which is of the nature of self-existence, and obtaining of pure knowledge, implied with the term Atma or Brahma, which I discover as my own self, my own real nature. You see, world is mithya. So what is satyam, what is mithya? Brahma satyam, jagan mithya. Brahma satyam, jagan mithya. What am I? Aham brahmaiva. Okay. Brahmaiva, jiva. Okay, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Jivopi Brahmaiva. Jivopi Brahmaiva means I am Brahman. The whole world is Brahma. That Brahman is Satyam and the world is Mithya. That enjoys the status of being the knower is Satyam. That enjoys the status of being the known is Mithya. And tell me, what is the distance between the knower and the known? What is the distance between consciousness and the world? There is no matter other than, okay? What is the distance between consciousness and the world? The grossest world of most tangible objects is nothing but most abstract, subtlest, intangible consciousness. The whole world is a seeming motion, an emotionless consciousness implied by the term Brahma. The world is what? Mithya. Seeming means what? Mithya. Okay, why should you know what is mithya? To have the right perspective of the world. Why should I have the right perspective of the world? to resolve the wrong perspective of the world. In resolving the wrong perspective of the world, a miracle happens. What is the miracle? My dependence upon the world, my aversion and passion both will be resolved. When both are resolved, my dependence upon the world is shifted from the world to the self. In self-dependence, there is independence. In world dependence, there is bondage. In world dependence, there is limitation. In self-dependence, there is limitlessness. In world dependence, there is unhappiness, sorrow, pain. In self-dependence, there is happiness and fullness. Okay? And in between, it may be difficult for the grossest minds to shift the dependence from the grossest world to subtlest consciousness. Therefore, in between, Shastram brings Ishvara into the picture, Bhagavan into the picture. So, when we are asked to worship and pray, we are trained, we are helped to shift our dependence from the world to Bhagavan, God, and from there gradually we are helped to shift the dependence from the God to the self. But now, shifting the dependence will be easier, effortless. Straight away, shift dependence from the world to the self, it is difficult. Because minds are not subtle enough. That's why we are trained, given enough time. The religious life involving Ishvara, living a life of dharma and appreciation of order, lots of other subtle facts pertinent to the world also, are all for what? For us to become subtler enough to appreciate the fact. We have to become subtler, isn't it? It's natural for us to be gross-minded. We are born, we are raw-headed. And we do not even know how to hold the sharp pencil. We'll break the sharp edge of the fine pencil, isn't it? That is why we are only given crayons. Chalk pieces. Crayon means what? You don't need to be very subtle, okay? Make you the crayon. You are own, you know. And some, even crayon also you may bite it because colorful. somebody has to be careful looking at you all the time, whether you are putting it in the mouth or using it on the paper. It's too gross. And after 5th standard, 4th standard, 6th standard, 7th standard, 8th standard, 9th standard, you come to 10th standard. Now that slowly you start using the pencils and the sharp, you yourself are the sharpener and make it sharp edge, fine edge, and you start using nice. And you become what later on, and put even, is it? It means you have become mentally refined. Refined means you are subtle minded. So that's why every education is for converting the grossest minded into a refined minded. The purpose of education in India is what? Converting the indisciplined gross mind into a finer refined mind. Subtle mind. Why should I become mentally refined and subtle? To appreciate the subtlest fact. All that is, there is only Brahma. Understand? That is why here is always encouraged to be in one field. In India, people are always parents encouraged to be in one field. One field means you do some physics for 1 year, and if you don't like it, move on to physics chemistry, and not leave everything, completely go to something else, something different. study with different perspective. Maybe in India, in Western countries, I don't know what is the idea. You are doing carpentry in the beginning and you are allowed to do, you are asked to do only in the same given field, you are expected to become more and more and more and more perfect. The more perfect you become in one given field, further and finer you become here. People study economics and then leave the whole thing and go to something else. Hadi chemical engineering, do IT professional, become IT professionals later on. Nothing to do with what they studied. Now why? I'm just saying, the purpose of education is for us to become refined. Emotional, mental refinement is the purpose of education. And refinement is for the appreciation of subtle facts. Appreciation of subtle facts is for us to understand the world. And if we understand the world properly means we discover joy. So joy is not attained. Joy is always there. You discover it when you appreciate subtle facts. And appreciation of subtle facts is possible only if you are refined. If you are gross, you can't see things correctly. Therefore, this is a fact. So dependence has to be shifted from the world to the self. Nothing other than dependence has to be shifted from the known to the knower. Dependence for what? Dependence for happiness and security. In the wrong perspective of the world, that the world is responsible for unhappiness and pain also was known, has been corrected. And in between, because it is it's a very hard thing, it's like from the bottom of the mountain, from the foothill of the mountain, you have to reach the peak of the mountain, means even the journey very difficult. Therefore, in between, you need to be. We need some help. The Shastra brings in what? Concept, which is a fact of Ishvara and the order. How to live one's life first properly in conformity with the order. For what? Refinement. Therefore, the worship, prayer, living a life of Dharma, living one's life consciously. All these are taught in between for what? For us to be qualified, to become eligible, to shift this dependence from the world to the self. Therefore, there is your help to shift the dependence from the world to Bhagavan first, and gradually your help to shift the dependence from Bhagavan to God to yourself. When you are dependent on the world for happiness and security, well, when you are world dependent, you are worldly, materialistic person. Pursuing wealth, artha kama, doesn't make you materialistic person. To live your life, you have to pursue artha kama. Nothing wrong. Pursuing artha kama does not make you a materialistic person. When are you a materialistic person? When a world dependent, you are a materialistic person. When you shift the dependence from the world to Bhagavan, you are thoughtfully, ethically, you are a religious person. Shift the dependence from world to yourself, you are a spiritual person. That's why Purushartha Nischaya is important. What am I living this life for? If that is clear, how should I live my life to accomplish my end? Must become very clear. Is it clear? So what is the teaching here? Ayam prapanchaha mithya yeva. And you are the satyam. இமை சத்தியம் இஸ் டிபெண்ட் ஆன் மித்யா. Why am I? So he says, அயம் பிரபஞ்சோ மித்யைவ சத்யம் ப்ரஹ்மாஹமௌயம். So what is சத்யம் then? பிரம்மா அஹம். சத்யம் மீன்ஸ் அப்சல்யூட் ரியாலிட்டி. What absolute reality? Which does not come, which does not go, there's never a time which disappears. That which is always there, that which is not negatable in any period of time, that which is past, present and future. Trikala abadhitam satyam. That which is free from past, present and future, that which is always is satyam. And the satyam, the absolute reality is limited. Limitlessly big. Absolute reality is that which is limitlessly big, therefore implied by the term Brahma, and obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, recognizable, arrived at only as the truth of I. Therefore the what is the substance of the substantive aham now? Brahma. What is Brahma? Consciousness. Okay, Brahma is a word which implies reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. And what is aham? What is wave? Water. What is aham? Formless reality obtaining in the form of consciousness. Aham is equal to consciousness. Wave is equal to water, means aham is equal to consciousness. Implied with term Brahma, therefore Brahma aham. Satyam aham, Brahma satyam. I, the self, am the reality implied by the term consciousness. I, the self, am the truth. The whole, I'm absolute reality, the consciousness, the entire objective universe other than, as is what? Mithya. And mithya is satyam, satyam is not mithya. See, satyam is not mithya, but the mithya world is satyam. Satyam Brahma aham. And this reality is what? Avyayam, which doesn't decline. What does it mean? Doesn't come and go. The world, the mithya world of objects comes and goes. Means what? Becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest, becomes manifest and manifest. That consciousness is everlasting. Avyayam means what? I, the self, am the absolute reality, which everlasting reality implied by the term Brahma up to form of pure knowledge. Is it clear? The world comes and goes. Is it true or not? When do you come and go? Do you come and go? If you say yes, I will go on for silence. I will remain silent forever. I will not speak at all anymore. Swamiji used to say this. People come and tell him, Swamiji, you know, you sound like Rajanish. Sometimes Swamiji, what you say is exactly like what J. Krishnamurti says. Swamiji will say, Rama, இத்தனை காலமா பேசியிருக்க வாழ்த்த இப்ப வந்து சொல்ற எப்படின்ட்டு சன்னியாசம் சின்னோதரம் சொல்லிக்காம வாங்கிட்டு போயிடும் ரிஷிகேஷ். I should go back to ரிஷிகேஷ் again, second time சன்னியாசம். People come, you see, to differentiate, to see the subtle. Shastra pramanam itself is not there.
know,
people, see, when they read the books now, simply read the books, because they sound very intellectual. And people who understand little Vedanta, they go read those books also. Because there's no Shraddha in Shastram yet. They read little Vedanta, then they can understand what those other people say also. Light of the teaching. Then they mistake it. They have to see Pramanam, Shastra Pramanam. Dharma is so much emphasized. The traditional teacher should emphasize Dharma a lot. Because very important, very not easy, because the situation when you're cornered in life, when you're living a life, the needs, you know, to fulfill the needs to live your life itself, the needs are different. So you'll be cornered always in society. And you can't help, you can't overcome. So it's easy for you to go against Dharma. But it's very difficult to live a life of Dharma. Especially when everything is available for you, it's easy. So Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya Jivopi Brahmaivanaparaha. Okay, Brahman is the only truth is Brahman. Whole universe is what? They say mithya, the world doesn't exist independently out of mithya, Brahma. Whole world is Brahma. And I am that Brahma, which is everlasting, avyayam. Satyam Brahmaham avyayam. Okay, what is the means? How do you say so authoritatively, authentically? How can you say this? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. And Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Brahma. I myself am the abstract, all-pervasive, only secondless, non-dual reality, everlasting truth, implied with the term Brahma, and that the rest of the whole world is Mithya, which enjoys its existence in me, which doesn't have independent existence of its own, therefore it is Mithya. This is the abstract vision of the fact. This is not a matter for belief. It is not a view or contention of any given person. It is a vision of the fact. It can be discovered, or one can remain ignorant of this fact, or one can discover this fact. The fact, okay, one can be ignorant of the fact, or one can discover the fact. But it is not a view of any given individual, given intellect, any person. And this is the fact when I say, because it is the abstract fact, it is not simply, you know, it's a fact means verifiable. Fact is what? Verifiable. A belief can be verified, or belief can be non-verifiable also. This is not a non-verifiable belief. It is matter for belief. It is a fact which is verifiable. Okay? You can make efforts to discover this fact, or you can happily, blissfully remain ignorant also. It's a fact. How do you say it's a fact? What is the means of the knowledge of this fact? What is the valid means of knowledge of the fact? Knowledge of the fact means, vision of the fact means, it presupposes a valid, authentic means of knowledge. Okay? When sun shines, the sun is blazing, it's very hot. It gets very hot. Is it a matter for belief or a fact? Tell me. Fact, isn't it? And how do you know it's a fact? How do you know it's a fact? When you look around for air conditioning, your skin, your sense of touch is the means of knowledge, isn't it? Your indriyam, your tvag indriyam, your power of touch the means of knowledge appearing in your skin is the authentic valid means of knowledge of the heat, object called heat. And here it is not an object, it is the abstract truth of everything, and for which also there is a pramanam, valid means of knowledge called Vedantaha. All the different various Upanishads obtaining the forming the end portion of the Veda called Vedanta Shastram. Vedantaha means many Upanishads which are there at the end of the Upanishad, forming the end portion of the Upanishad, known by the term Jnana Kandaha. Pramanam is what? Vedantaha. Don't say anything. Make use of the pramanam. Okay? Closing your eyes, never complain about the doctor who removed your cataract. Open your eyes, make use of your eyes, and see whether you can see or not. Okay? You have to make use of your eyes to see whether your eyes see or not. Keep your eyes closed. Without making use of your eyes, you cannot say whether your eyes see or not. Similarly, make use of the pramanam called Vedanta Shastram in terms of studying it systematically. Go through the steps involving Shravanam, Manam, Nidhyasanam. Then, first Shravanam you do, then you can say whether Vedanta works or not. So Vedanta is the authentic valid means of knowledge. Vedanta is the pramanam through which reveals this fact of Brahman being Satyam and you yourself being Brahman and all objective universe being Mithya. And Mithya means though everything is Satyam Brahma. And not only Vedantaha, the teachers, the guru who means the person who unfolds the words of the Shastram, who gives the vision, who transfers the vision of the fact from one's own head to the other person's head through communication is also what is otherwise called a guru. And even teachers are the pramanams. Because the teacher also is a pramanam. When the teacher is a means of communication of, serves a means of communication of the, serves a person who transfers the vision, obtaining one's own head to the student's vision, the listener's head, through communication, and the teaching by which doesn't contradict your reasoning. Okay, and which is the teacher whose vision is non-different from the vision of the Shastram, and then who can give, can transfer that vision to the one who listens through communication, the teaching, and he is also another pramanam. And not only that, once you listen to the teaching, once you enjoy the benefit of the teaching, and your own enjoyment of the benefit of knowledge is the pramanam, is the proof, evidence, isn't it? Therefore, anubhavaha. Anubhavaha should not be taken as an experience here. Anubhavaha means the experience, enjoyment of the benefit of knowledge one has as a result of the assimilation of the vision of the fact is anubhavaha. Anubhavaha means enjoyment of the benefit of the assimilation of the vision of the fact one has through the exposure one gains. The exposure to the teaching itself is what? The pramanam. Proof. before that, the teacher who has the vision of the Shastram and who gives the vision of the Shastram, he has got through communication, whose teaching doesn't contradict it. The reasoning is another pramanam. And above all, for the teacher to be able to communicate, to give you the vision, and thereby for you to enjoy the benefit of the teaching also, there may be source of, isn't it, the teaching which is Vedanta. Have you made it very clear now?
Yes.
First is what? Vedanta is source of the teaching, which is a timeless scripture. And then Vedanta means the Upanishad, okay? The end portion of the Veda, which the text obtaining consisting of words which serve as the means of the source of the teaching. First pramanam, then the teacher who has got the vision of the Shastram, thereby who is able to transfer his vision to the listener's head through communication, and whose teaching does not contradict the one's reasoning, the second pramanam. And the third means is what? The one's own enjoyment of the benefit of the vision, the assimilation of the vision of the fact one has gained through the teaching. Is it clear? That is the third. So he says here, Vedantaha Guravaha Anubhavaha. Tatha means as well. The scripture is source of the teaching, the teacher who communicate the teaching, and the benefit of the teaching. Source of teaching, one who communicates the teaching, and the benefit of the teaching. Anubhavaha stands for benefit of the teaching. Teacher stands for the means of the communication, the means of communication, and the source of teaching. The means of teaching, the benefit of teaching, source of teaching. Is it clear now? Vedantaha Guravaha Anubhavaha. These are all what? These are the pramanani. These are all the evidence, proof for this vision of Brahman being the Satyam and the world being Mithya. Is it clear? I think I have made it very clear. See, the three words used here, let me tell you again. Vedantaha, Guravaha, then Anubhavaha. Three words are used. What are these three? Let me tell you. Say pramanam. Pramana means, means of knowledge. Means of knowledge means what also? Proof, isn't it? The proof. It proves what? It proves the vision of the fact. What is the fact here? All that is here is only Brahma. And that Brahman is the only, Brahman is a word implying the reality of pure knowledge, which is the only absolute reality, Satyam. And the whole universe is only the manifestation of knowledge, which is, there is no independent existence, which is Mithya. The world is Mithya. What is experienced is Mithya. The source of experience is Asatyam Brahma. Brahman is Satyam, Jagat Mithya, which means Aham, I the self am consciousness, implied by the term am, Brahman alone, Satyam. And the entire world of which is what? Mithya. Is it clear? And this is the fact. And this is the vision of the fact, expression of the vision of the fact. And for this fact, to have the vision of this fact, you need a pramanam. Isn't it? Proof. What is the proof? First is the source of teaching obtaining in the form of scripture, in terms of Upanishads, which form the end portion of the Veda. And the second proof is what? The teachers who have this vision, who have gained this vision through the Shastra, from the Shastram, and who transfer their vision through communication, through teaching, isn't it? To the student. Is it clear? You communicate the teaching, and whose teaching does not contradict the reasoning is the second proof. Third proof is when you enjoy the benefit of the teaching, that's the third proof. Is it clear or not? It's a plural word. Vedanta. Visarga got dropped. Because Upanishads are many. The many Upanishads for which form the end portion of the Veda, therefore it's said to be Vedantaha. Sometimes respectfully also, when you are respectful, also we use the plural word.
You said the Brahmanas are the source, teacher and the experience. And then you said the proof of that is these two.
The proof
means... I'm a bit confused.
No. See, Pramana means the means of knowledge.
Yes.
Okay, and the means of knowledge, you can also say what now? It's a proof also, isn't it? What is the proof? What is the evidence that there's light? What's the proof? Your eyes. When you say three words, Guravaha, so I want to say proof means what? I mean to say Vedanta is a source of teaching, isn't it? As a means of knowledge. And here the teacher is the means who communicates the teaching. Communicator of the teaching. The source of the teaching has a means of teaching. The means of teaching doesn't become your teaching, isn't it? You need some. It needs to be transferred, communicated. The teacher who communicates the teaching and later on enjoyment of the benefit of the teaching. Anubhavaha. See, anubhava does not mean any experience, not spiritual experience. Okay, it's wrong teaching. Anubhavaha means enjoyment of the benefit of teaching one has. When a person enjoyment of the benefit of the teaching as a result of the assimilation of the vision of the fact.
Guravaha must mean seeing the teacher enjoying benefits. Is that correct?
No. See, teacher must be enjoying the benefit because teacher has the vision. How do you know teacher enjoys the benefit? You must have the vision. Teacher must transfer the vision. See, for you to know the teacher enjoys the benefit means the teacher must have the vision. You cannot say teacher enjoys the benefit unless teacher has the vision. For you to know the teacher has the vision, he must be able to give you the vision. See, if you do not have the depth of the vision, you cannot appreciate the other person's depth of the vision. If you are blind, you cannot say how other person appreciates, how beautiful. Other person appreciates the brilliance of the sun, and oh, you can't say, oh, how nicely he enjoyed. No, you must have the person, you must have the vision. You must have the distortions for vision for you to appreciate the fact of other person enjoying the light. Is it clear? So, communication. See, the teacher who communicates the teaching, whose teaching does not contradict your reasoning, is also pramanam. And later on, when you yourself enjoy the benefit of the teaching, your own enjoyment of the benefit of the teaching is what? Pramana. It's a proof, evidence. Why? When you say Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, it's a vision of the fact. How do you say Jagan Mithya? Brahma Satyam, we don't even know. The people don't like this saying, somebody says world is not mithya, it is not up. We don't like it. Because it's real for me. Your pain, your suffering is not real if you say. You'll be upset, isn't it? How can I say that pain and suffering, etc., is not real? It's very real. I'm suffering, I'm crying, and I'm weeping, and then I'm suffering. How can you say it is not real? Because I am suffering. My suffering is not real. You are not suffering. I only suffer. No, I know how suffering is real. How pain is real. It's not acceptable. Therefore, how it is mithya should be understood. Now, whenever in the verse Atra comes with reference to this fact, with reference to this, Atra means here. Here means with reference to the fact revealed in this context. Here. What's the fact here? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. With reference to this fact, what is the pramanam? What is the means of knowledge? What is the proof? Isn't it? Vedanta is the means of Vedanta, which serves as the source of teaching. The means of knowledge is the first pramanam. And the teacher who has got the vision of this fact, who communicates the teaching which doesn't contradict my reasoning, the second pramanam, second proof. And later on, my own enjoyment or the benefit of the teaching, your own enjoyment of the benefit of the teaching will be the later on. First accept Vedanta, have Shraddha in it, listen to the teaching, okay, then see whether the teaching is effective or not. I've been listening to the Vedanta classes, but nothing is working. It's useless means, then Vedanta says, don't mistake Vedanta to be useless. You see, you are not ready for this teaching, and take care of your your own mind. Be prepared for the teaching and continue to be the teaching. Is it clear? Don't worry about it. Listen and listen. Never ever lose Shraddha in what the Shastra says. Be with the teaching. Either today or tomorrow or next year or next janma, sometime, somewhere, the teaching will work. Ayam prapancho mithyaiva.
Ayam prapancho mithyaiva.
Satyam brahmahamavyayam.
Satyam brahmahamavyayam.
Atra pramanam vedantaha. Guravo nubhavastatha. Brahmaivaham na samsari. Na chaham brahmanah prithak. What's the time now?
12:15.
Okay. Om Aham Brahma Asmi. Everything is Brahma. Nothing other than Brahma, which is myself. What should I pray? You don't need to pray. If you know this, that Aham Brahma Asmi, then you don't need to pray. If you do not know, if you seem to be understanding, then still you have to pray. Etc. We'll talk about it before we conclude, okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.